Amen. Thank you. Have a seat. And thank you again, Natalie, for that worship. Praise God. I love that we gifted her with the date night. Here's the million-dollar question. Will she take her husband over? She said no. So we actually gifted her with a girls' night. That's what we did. That's awesome. Well, girls, you made it to week four. I'm going to give these remotes to Emma. It is your job to turn off the TVs at the end of the night. This is great power. I trust you.
No,
there you
I don't go. Get this power in my own house.
I know. She doesn't get this power in her own house. Come to Bible study and get remotes. Amen. So week four, girls, and tonight we're going to be focusing on how to stay vigilant, because it's one thing to have a Bible study for 4 weeks. It's another thing to live it for the next 52, right? So we're going to focus on that. Before we jump into our outline, I want to talk about a parable that Jesus shared in Matthew chapter 25. So if you have your Bible, just flip on over there for me. It's in Matthew chapter 25, and it's the parable of the 10 virgins. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is teaching us and preparing us for how we can know that his coming, his second coming, will be soon. And he says, hey, look for these signs. And so Matthew 24 is going to be him preparing the church for that. And if you read the Gospels, you'll often hear Jesus say, verily, verily, or I say to you, or be vigilant, stay awake, stay alert. And whenever Jesus says something like pay attention, I tend to lean in a little bit more, right? So Matthew 24 is all about pay attention. These are the signs. Well, in Matthew 25, he starts giving us parables so that we can kind of catch the truth. The parable is a truth wrapped in a story, because that's how I like to learn. I can remember things when I hear a story that goes along with it, right? So he shares this story about these 10 virgins. Now, way back in the day, when there would be a wedding, this wedding would go on for like 7 days. And the groom's family would negotiate with the bride's family over something called the bride's price. And the bride's parents would pay the groom, I guess, for taking her off their hands. I don't know. I think it should have been the other way. I would be like, no, no. I got to live with him till death do us part. You pay me. But that's how it works. And then there would be a week-long feast, and all of their friends would join them. So let's read it in Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. It says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. The foolish ones took lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all, I circled the word all in my Bible, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Verse 6, at midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all of the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there will not be enough for both of us. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. So in this parable that Jesus is sharing, there are 4 characters. There's the bridegroom, who is Jesus. There is the bride, who is the church of Jesus Christ. And then there are the bridesmaids. And that's you and I. We are working inside the church. We are preparing the church. We are longing for his appearing. And in this parable, everyone who's in this parable is a Christian, so to speak. The five wise and the five foolish were all on the same team. A lot of times we hear five wise, five foolish, and we think, oh yeah, those people in the world, they are so foolish. But in this parable, it's actually talking about the body of Christ, that there are wise and there are foolish inside the body of Christ. Now, what makes you wise and what makes you foolish is not your intellect. It isn't the amount of money you have. It isn't your experience. Wisdom is determined by your decisions. And what made the five virgins wise was that they decided to take extra oil with them. What made the five virgins foolish was that they figured that they could just get along with what they had, that what they had was enough. And they didn't make room for delay. Wisdom, when I think about making a wise decision, I try to make the decision that I will be happy with later. Yeah. That's a wise choice. So breaking it down on a real level, when I walk past a sink full of dirty dishes, so I try to think, what decision will make me happy later? When I wake up in the morning and I got an empty sink, yep, that decision to do the dishes tonight is a wise decision because I'll like it later. When I'm hungry at 9 o'clock at night and I see a box of Twinkies and I try to think, what decision will make me happy later? Will this eating this Twinkie at 9 o'clock, knowing it does not taste as good as it did before they sold Hostess, can anybody say amen? Will that make me happy later? So that's how I decide, you know, what is the wise thing to do? And our wisdom is a choice and it's defined by our actions. What encourages me in this story and why I wanted to share it with you, because we're talking about how to stay vigilant and how to stay awake and how to stay alert when it comes to spiritual warfare, is that everyone in this story fell asleep. The wise and the foolish got drowsy and fell asleep. Being tired does not make you foolish. The wise and the foolish all got tired. What differentiates you is when you've set aside some oil for those times that make you tired. So that when you are awakened and you need to pivot and turn on a moment's notice, you aren't scrambling trying to light something that's never going to burn because you don't have any oil set aside. And so I just want to encourage you. A lot of women feel like, oh man, I'm not doing something right because I'm tired. Girlfriend, you could be doing something incredibly well and good, and that is why you're tired, which is why scripture says, do not be weary in well-doing. Because if you are doing well, you are going to potentially get weary, which is why scripture encourages us in that. So I would encourage you that part of the heartbeat behind the Bible reading project is that when you will set aside a tenth of your day, just start the beginning of your day by meditating on a scripture. Now, I'll be real. When I set a fitness goal for myself, I want to run a marathon in 3 weeks. How many of y'all know that ain't going to happen? And so week one, I give up because I'm discouraged, right? So sometimes it can be overwhelming to look at 66 books. But if you will start with a verse, the Holy Spirit will minister to you in a verse. And then he will minister to you the next day with another verse. Just like he gave the Israelites manna every single day, there will be manna on the ground for you. And it will be what you need for that day. And you guys know the story from the Israelites. When they tried to store up manna day to day to day, it had worms and it rotted, because yesterday's manna is not for today's problems. And so if you will just go to the word, even when things are going good, and you don't necessarily have to be in DEFCON crisis mode, that's how you store up that oil. And that's how you and I can fight and stay vigilant and stay alert when it comes to the enemy's schemes. Because his word is a light unto our path and a lamp for our feet. And if you got oil in that lamp, then your feet will not be easily entangled. And you'll be able to walk in any situation that you have. So I just wanted to share that at the beginning when we talked about being vigilant. And so now let's talk about what we came to talk about. It is always God's will for you to win when it comes to spiritual warfare. Amen. Always. We've spent 3 weeks talking about how he has triumphed over them at the cross. We have spent 3 weeks talking about how we have the armor of God, how we have ballistic missiles at our disposal in prayer, how we have the power of testimony and preaching. Hear me say, it is always God's will for you to win when it comes to spiritual warfare. But I will say this, the Bible talks more about resisting the devil than it does about binding him. And so resisting him is a marathon sport. And there is a reason why the Word of God equips the saints to be able to walk hard and fast in resisting the devil. Monica shared the scripture, James 4:7. In fact, let's turn there. I'm going old school tonight, mainly because I didn't have time to type out my scriptures. James 4:7. I put it in the Amplified on the screen. I'm going to read it from the NIV. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That is the promise. He will flee from you. He doesn't walk away from you. He doesn't slink away from you. He doesn't hide and kind of duck away. I love the word flee, which means he's running and he's running fast, right? He will flee from you. But many times in God's word, his promises are tied to his processes. And a lot of women know, resist the devil and he will flee. But there's actually two sentences in that verse. And the first sentence is, submit to God. Now let me let you guys in on a little secret. I am a woman. I've been one for 46 years. Pretty experienced. When women hear words like submit and obey, y'all laughing because you already know. Your eye twitched in. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Your eye twitched when I said submit and obey. Let me challenge you. The enemy knows that is the Achilles heel for most women. He found out in Genesis chapter 3. And he knows that that verse has two sentences. And he's counting on you only reading the second half. And a lot of women are frustrated and they feel like God's word doesn't apply to them and they can't have what everybody else has because they're not special enough. Or they start to question whether or not God's word is true and his character is flawless because they're running around resisting the devil and they can't figure out why he's not running. And it's because there's an area of their lives that they have not submitted to God. And so I want to just encourage you that we got to get both sides right if we're going to be successful. Because again, we have the power to bind and to loose. But friend, hear me. You will do a lot more resisting than you will do binding and loosing. Just law of averages. I don't think scripture would lay it out in a proportion that is not appropriate for what our personal experience would be. So how do we submit to God? How do we submit to the authority of God? The first one there, obey his word. Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Every mother in this room has probably said something like that. Curfew is at 10 o'clock. Why are you calling me right now? I told you 10 o'clock, right? Why do you call me Mom, Mom, and do not do what I say? Right? Obedience is how we submit to God. And understand this. There is grace. And you will be to whom much is given, much is required. And so if you're in a new